Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to you to follow your favorite teams. So get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in the action. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Orgullosamente Latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 Homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang. Don't say nothing. Bang, the bang, the bang, bang. We be thumping. Bang, the bang, the bang, bang. Just act like you know and homie, stop fucking.
I'm through stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the S's and the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping. Rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we buzz. Shackled up like a nut going 5150. G'd up in the feed up. Queen stuff is some dickies.
I rap a lot like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clucker in the shop straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Cali to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my NIAK, putting it down all day. Representing Southern Cali, get in my way, yo, get sprayed.
We be dropping. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. Don't say nothing. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang. We be dropping. Bang, the dang, the dang, dang.
I thought that it was very funny when they had a brand new opening, and the new opening to the show was just Young Bucks clips. I thought that was funny.
Right.
Throughout the show, and I know we'll get to it, their threat is abuse of power, which everybody has been a victim of, and it worked, you know? So, yeah, I liked the opening. It was different.
Okay, from a booking standpoint.
Right.
Okay. How would you address, so they attacked Tony Khan last week. And like you said, you know, they said our contracts are higher class. Like, right, okay, but like there's a lot of holes in this that need to be filled.
Right.
What about Jack Perry's contract?
Right.
Like, he's the one that attacked. Jack Perry attacked him initially. The EVPs turned on him. And I'm like, I don't know. This just started off as like, it's like what they're trying to do is the concept here is they're trying to put heel heat on the Young Bucks.
Right.
But it's like, they're not like
when they're not explaining the logistics
enough.
Of
right,
it.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You know what I would do? Because
if you had a lawyer that came out that was reputable and looked, you know, not Mark Sterling, but like a guy we've never seen that could talk, right? And he was just to go out there, well, you know, my clients, according to clause A, B, 1, blah, blah, blah. So therefore, they cannot. This clause,
read the part of the contract specifically where it states
right.
It can't be fired.
Right. At least cover that. That's a big thing. You know, that's
right.
Big,
right. It's a big logic. You know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm just surprised.
Logical leap that you have to take. That is very easy. If they just explained it, took an extra 10 minutes to do that.
Not even. You just need 1 minute to explain it.
Right.
Like we'll explain what the contract says.
Right.
You know. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm just surprised that it hearing from Tony. A lot, you know, press conferences, interviews, all that. And he usually, you know, talks shit about the troops of pro wrestling in the 90s. But now he's running an evil, you know, they're not GMs, VPs, evil VPs causing shenanigans. That's very Vince or Eric, you know, they were successful doing it. And Don Callis was successful doing it in ECW and TNA. I would have Don Callis the face of the Young Bucks and Okada because he's already done that authority figure dickhead thing and he fucking rules at it. So.
Not nutted about it, but I think Ted Callis is doing the thing where he's trying to pilfer like everybody, which I think should be a good gimmick for him. We spoke about
that. Yeah, that's good too. You know? Yeah.
Right. So he should get Don Callis should just be sticking his nose in everything.
Yeah.
He's good at, you know. But look, here's what I would say here. So everybody knows what's going on with AEW. They know the history. They know Punk and stuff. And so Tony literally, you know, came out, you know, so they got rid of Punk. And we saw, they showed the video of Punk kind of like just yelling at Tony Khan. And Tony Khan said his life has never been, he's never felt his life in threat more. He took a freaking Meltzer drop off the show. Like you would think the tone of it would be like, I thought my, you know, I didn't realize what having my life.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, that's good.
You know what? That's not a bad point because it's like, okay, he screamed at him and supposedly that was the scariest he's ever been at work. Maybe nobody's ever screamed at him. But these guys hit him with an actual pile driver and took him up, but they're still working.
And he's got a neck brace on.
Right.
And he's turning his head.
And a neck, you know, I don't know. Like I'm saying, there's so many details here that if you should have mixed everything together, gotten everybody's perspective on what logically made the best sense here for good going forward. And this was like, they just cut Tony off, and Tony's not a good actor. So it's like, you know.
Is this too nitpicky? Right. Everyone knows that anybody can put on a neck brace, right? People do it for trials, sympathy. Right. If you're going to do it in wrestling, I want to see the fucking serious collar, the brace. Anybody can do that. Put a collar on, make it look a little more realistic.
I don't think these fans don't care. Like their base things, as long as there is an angle, that's all that really matters, right? So Swerve comes out, and him and Nana took issue with the Bucks weren't in the show, and they stated that what they did to Tony Khan was a bitch move. So Swerve said he didn't know who his Double or Nothing challenger being called the person out. Then Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson appeared on the screen, and Matthew took issue with Swerve badmouthing his bosses and cursing on the show. Then Matthew said they arranged the perfect opponent for him at AEW Double Nothing, said he's at the go position. Then Christian Cage comes out with Nick Wayne, Shawna, and Killswitch. And Cage and Shawna enter the ring while Nick and Killswitch are on their opposite sides. Cage sees speaking into the microphone and then struck Swerve with the microphone, and Swerve fired back. Nick ran in and was hit by Swerve and then stopped short of hitting Shayna. Then Killswitch headbutted Swerve and then dropped Nana with an elbow. And then Cage and Killswitch with his move on top of the belt. And then Cage and Killswitch held Nana in place while Nick hit him with Wayne's World. Then Cage took the mic and said there's something that Swerve should know about him, which is that he never forgets. Cage said he hadn't forgotten that Swerve broke into Nick's gym and left him in a pool of his own blood. Then Cage said he also hasn't forgotten that he and Swerve were a tag team at the biggest show in the history of the business, and Swerve embarrassed him by taking the loss. Cage said he'd been waiting for the right moment to make him pay for those mistakes, and now he won the world championship, so there's no better time than now. And Cage said he would end Swerve's title reign to make a footnote in AEW's history book. And Cage recalls Swerve saying his daughter feels like she doesn't know him. And Cage said that Swerve's daughter won't want to know him once he's finished with him, but she will then have a father that she'd be proud of for the rest of her life. And Cage taunted the crowd about the Colorado Avalanche beating the Jets, and then told Swerve the pain has just begun. Then Killswitch grabbed one of Swerve's braids and ripped it out of his head. And Cage held up the AEW Championship belt like Excalibur, announced Swerve versus Cage for the title. This is actually really good by Cage, and it's a good. This is the type of guy that Swerve needs to work against if he wants to be a babyface. You know, so it's pretty clear cut. He's got a clear cut babyface and clear cut heel.
Forgot to mention, I liked when Okada and the Young Bucks were with Jack Perry were walking into the building and had a cool, fresh, different look. It almost reminded me, obviously, they had way more star power, but it almost reminded me like when the Judgment Day walked in with Mahones, or as Mahone. Meltz would call them, Mahones. Right, Mahones. I didn't know that. What
did you listen to that clip?
Yes, I did. And you know why I listened to it? Because somebody put, did Meltzer change this guy's nationality or ethnicity or something like that? Because, you know, you say cojones in Spanish, right, which mean balls. So he kept calling him Mahones. The guy named Mahones.
Well, this is an issue too, and this is a problem with Dave. Okay, is that Dave showed but just not knowing Pat Mahomes. Okay, he's arguably like the right. face of the league right now, the top football player, right? And Dave is always like talking about competition. The other house, bro. Dave literally knows nothing about anything other than wrestling. It sounds like.
He does know some sports because I remember that he used to write for a soccer team in San Jose when they used to have, remember they used to have soccer over there? I don't know if they still have it, but he used to write soccer for them. And I know he's followed boxing. But
now that he's into wrestling, it's like bro, remember we talked about when Dave tries to review these shows and stuff, everything. And I've said that, like, dude, the fact that you watch the shows every single week from start to finish and never change the channel. you don't have a perspective on what's really bad, because people, when they see stuff that's really bad, they just stop watching. If you've never stopped watching, how do you actually get to that perspective? You know what I'm saying? That he's never turned this off to watch the
that
hockey.
Doesn't mean he doesn't know when something's bad.
I absolutely think he doesn't know what is bad. How would he know what is? Well, what's his version of bad? When stuff is really bad, like a TV show is bad, I stop watching it.
Right.
When stuff is bad on the show, I
change
the channel.
Bro, there's stuff bad on the show in AEW and WWE, and we keep watching it because we have to review it.
Movie critics have to watch all movies, they can't choose, right?
Yeah, but you don't have the Michael. Here's the thing. I'm talking.
What if you're a boxing analyst and you're watching?
Here's my point. Tries to put perspective and talk about why shows do good and bad and stuff.
Right.
Okay. That he doesn't have that proper perspective because he doesn't have the other side of the perspectives. He's just got one perspective. A guy that watches a show start to finish every week.
Well, he's got 40 years of
as a booker. But here's the thing. You don't. Whatever that guy likes or doesn't like is completely irrelevant. It's a segment of your audience that is going to watch it from start to finish every single week, just as long as you have a wrestling ring and have performers and stuff. Now, they can like or dislike some of the stuff, but you're not booking for a person that watches every week like that and will watch regardless. You're trying to get the people that you want to try and hear the criticisms of the things that some of the people don't like and are maybe tuning out and trying to get them back. Dave does not have that perspective, okay, because he's not – he doesn't do that. He just watches the show every single week, you know, start to finish. Like we do, we flip back and forth. You know, you've done that before. Perfect example, Joe. How many shows have you missed lately?
Full shows, a lot. But I put it on, or I make sure to watch the important
wrestling
clips.
Wrestling is not as compelling. Okay, but like back when the Bloodline and Sami Zayn stuff was going on, how often would you watch the shows?
Weekly.
Every week.
Yeah.
So I'm saying,
AEW for the first 2 years, I was pretty on. You know what
right.
I mean?
So you're a gauge of a person that like the stuff has gotten to the point where you don't have my attention every week.
Yeah.
And that's the type of person that we say, okay, how do we get that person back? And the thing is like, you know, when you're listening to a guy that watches it every week and thinks, it's, you know, that you don't even want to listen to that guy. I want to hear why Joe is not watching the show every week. You know, that's how you want to improve from a booking perspective, you know? Would you agree with that, Cody, what I just said?
Yeah, you said you wanted to know why Joe misses the shows every week?
Right, well, why he doesn't...
I want to know why he misses our phone calls every week.
I called you right back twice yesterday. I'm learning, I'm getting there.
That was actually pretty funny, the text exchange of you guys trying to connect to each other on the phone.
Right.
Was hysterical.
I called you. No, I called you.
They're calling each other, and they're missing calls, and they're texting each other. I miss you. No, I miss you.
So I just let you always
call them back. Like, Kony, guess what?
What up?
This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? That's a lot, if you think about it. In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. Now think about that. That's young men. Mm-hmm. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, the friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS, capital TCS, to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. With that being in mind, yo, you can perform simple routine checks, you know, self-checks at home while enjoying Manscaped products like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. It makes sense, right? We use products daily to trim and maintain our boys down there. And the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a load off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. These are perfect. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle-free. And you don't like making a mess? Well, this thing is waterproof. You can turn the water on while you're doing the shower. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or even in... If you want to, Conan, if you want to go to the beach in San Diego and use your Manscaped, you can do that in the ocean.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. And you can bring this trimmer wherever you go. Thanks to the wireless changing capabilities and travel lock features, you can take... Conan, you can take your Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 to AAA tapings. Isn't that great?
Yes, that's very great.
Keep it nice and shiny.
In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they'll be donating $50,000. Holy smokes. Boy, that's a lot. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny educational check yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off for free shipping with the code K100. That's K100. K100. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your chicken, your balls, and your mentals. That's Manscaped, MANSCAPED.com/K100.
Yeah, this is our best-selling product. You know, we highly recommend it for everybody. We have a lot of the boys in the business that use it. We use it ourselves. And the great thing about this product is they're talking about for your pubic hair and all that. You can use it under your arms. You can use it on your legs, on your chest, on your back, on your head, on your face. So this new one that they just came out with, the Lawnmower 5.0, is incredible. Gets a really good shave. I use it every day. And the great thing, it comes with a nice leather bag, not some cheap plastic bag. It comes with some nice briefs, the most comfortable briefs I've ever tried on. It's just an incredible thing, you know. So
don't forget the Crop Reviver. You know, the warmer months are coming up, so you got to get that Crop Reviver going on, the Crop Preserver. Get all your sprays and moisturizers going on.
Yeah, Joe used to suffer from swamp ass, but he doesn't anymore because of this Crop Preserver.
Right.
So,
and as you can see, Friday or Thursday, you know, we were there together. I smelled terrific. Remember you said you smelled pretty
good? I want to make a...
So get yourself smelling good. They've got fragrances. They've got deodorants. Keep your beard trimmed. Keep your shit trimmed downstairs. Keep your hair trimmed. Smell nice. They got deodorant. Got the Crop Preserver. We take care of you 360. Boom. Check it out at Manscaped. Yeah, like Don sticking his nose where it doesn't belong and just always being stirring the shit. I just think that his group has lost a lot of credibility. Takeshita isn't protected like he used to be. Neither's Hobbs. You know, there seems to be dissension, like Ospreay isn't listening to him. So it almost, I don't know if he's starting a new family or what. Here's my problem, bro. Like I've always liked OC, you know, Orange Cassidy. At the beginning, you didn't like him that much. But then not. But then you got them. But these guys that are with them, Chucky Taylor and Trent Barretta, they've been there like for 5 years. They've done nothing in 5 years that I find interesting. I just feel like they're an albatross holding the guy down. And I think all these guys that are playing buddy system wrestling, like let's hook up our friends to be on TV, that's not what you should do. The public should get the best out there. And I can guarantee you a lot of the boys, they don't like the fact that people are taking spots that they don't deserve when there's more talented people on the roster. This ain't the Red Cross. But I just think they're there because they're friends with people, and I haven't seen them or maybe haven't been booked in a good way for 5 years. But maybe, as we've seen before Disco, sometimes when people turn heel, they hit another fucking switch. You know what I'm saying? So right. Maybe this will happen with Trent.
Well, that's the simplest way stuff. He lost his momentum. He had a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, right, right. You're very right. You're very right. You're very right. You know who used to do that a lot? You know who used to do that a lot? And I wonder where he is now? Ricky Starks. Ricky Starks would go out there and throw one of the greatest promos where you're like, wow, this guy's going to be a star. Then the next week, he'd bring some weak sauce shit. And I'm like, dude, once you hit something strong, everything has to be strong for a while. Wow. Then when you do hit one that isn't that good, you got all that good shit to lay back on, you know?
Right. And there was nothing wrong with the short verbiage that Britta said. That's
no.
Great. You're coming out here making this all about yourself again. And then Cassie should have sat there, listened to him, and then said to him, all right, well, I'm going to come down. That's fine. Well, I'm going to come kick your ass. And run up there like, you know, but yeah, it's like, I don't know. So Renee Paquette interviewed Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson says back. And Matthew said she looked great and asked about her family. And then said they didn't really have time for this. I thought that was actually pretty fun. Right. Nicholas said they had too much television time. Want to give some to their friend. Jack Perry. Perry comes out and said he meant what he said last week when he said he wanted the best for AEW. And he said some people not be able to see it, but that's what he did. Perry said they are now entering a new era under the Elite. All right. So remember when I said that Perry, before he got fired, was starting to turn heel, right?
Right.
And like I was like, okay, this is a lot better than what he's been doing because his babyface forms are brutal.
Right, with no personality.
But, bro, this is like, you know, this guy's green still.
Right.
You know, this is like indie level promo stuff, very basic. You're not really saying much. You know, they're in a new era and they're like, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying any type of sinister heelish stuff in this, you know? He should be doing the kind of like almost Jericho's shtick where he's just like an insincere babyface type guy. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I'm not buying him.
I just think it's so much. I think it's so much easier in disco. It's so much easier. Just a pompous Hollywood baby face. Hey, I'm Luke Perry's kid. I live in a mansion. I got the hottest bitch in the fucking thing. You know, I got Tony by the balls because he fucking fired me without no due cause. I got attacked. You know, I'm on top of the world. Fuck you guys. And I just beat up my boss. You know, that type of shit.
Yeah, or he, like, bro, there's so many story arcs we could go down about, like this guy's, like, for character development, like, you know, I'm a Hollywood guy.
Yeah, he's showing up with an entourage, like a douchebag, people filming everything he does, like a Logan Paul type.
Or just, like, my, you know, my genes, I should be, like the top star in Hollywood, but they blackballed me because the Hollywood executives didn't like my dad. And like, you know, so now I have to.
My dad, because my dad banged everybody's bitch. That's even better.
So now you guys, you wrestling fans, are lucky to have a guy like me in professional wrestling because the acting community won't just do
stuff like that.
Douchebag, right? Instead of just a.
And he's got the hottest chick, bro. That's always he.
And he should be with her.
Right. And he's not. Right.
He's got a good character that he's leaving on the table here, right?
Right.
Harry has arrived, by the way.
Yeah, Harry.
I did not see that.
All right, so Chris Jericho makes his entrance with the new Learning Tree video wall, and he was cheered in his hometown. But I love that he's waving to the crowd, smiling. That's funny stuff, you know?
Right.
So then Ted Irvin was shown in the front row.
You have me with Ted. Do you still have me with Ted? Yeah.
Yeah, he called me a wimp and a punk.
K-100 Hall of Famer.
Those are fighting words in the 40s. Name. Yeah.
Chris's slander.
Like, if you called Al Capone a punk back in the day, Harry.
You get capped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what you really shouldn't call Al Capone? A Mary. You don't call somebody a Mary back then either. You know what I mean?
If that had happened in Vegas disco, would the desert have another body out there?
Maybe. All right. I can't wait to talk about this match, Cody, because I don't know if you felt the same thing. This was one of the weirdest matches I've ever seen on a mainstream wrestling show.
Which one is it?
And because Jericho and Shibata. Okay, Shibata was supposed to be like a big shooter back in the day before he got brain damage from headbutting Okada, whatever. Now he's back. But he's kind of got a little stint of a comedy character in him now because he does the thing with the phone and like the funny backstage vignettes with Renee. And those are entertaining, right? So he's now a baby face, right? Bro, I don't know how Jericho just was convinced to do this. But they did like a lot of comedy spots in this. Like you had the hockey pucks because there was an ODQ, FTU, whatever. The hockey pucks to do the hockey puck at him. They did the garbage can spot where he was like a robot. He was
I thought that was funny.
But bro, in the middle of this, Jericho and Shibata chopped each other at minimum 50 times each.
Right.
They chopped each other so much they went to commercial. The picture in picture, they continued chopping themselves the entire time. When they came out of the break, they were still chopping each other. And I was going like, what on earth? This is like, when they were doing this, I was saying, this is the worst match I've ever seen Chris in. I can't believe he's doing this. The thing we just stand there and let the guy chop you back and forth. But then they started doing the hockey puck spot, then the garbage can spot. I was like, this is actually like entertaining comedy. But then they went back to doing the chopping and stuff. And like bro, honestly.
It was almost a combination of strong style with comedy. And a little extreme.
Right. This match was 15 minutes, and I think in total they had like four spots. Like in the whole match, they chopped each other so much. So the Big Bill comes out because he's in the Learning Tree, and Big Bill put Shibata through a table that looked really good. A good choke size in the table. Jericho wins, right? And so they talk about Big Bill wanting to be part of the Learning Tree. But dude, for a match that was a comedy match. Basically,
right.
This had to be the most miserable Jericho felt. If I had a comedy match and I came back and how would your chest feel after being shot 50 times? That's a horrific night at work. I hated being shot like two or three times. And I'm like, I can't believe it.
Well, it didn't happen by mistake. He knew it was going to happen, and I guess he combined. Well, like I said, it didn't happen by mistake. He knew it was going to happen. They went over the match. And I think he wanted to do something different, and it was. It was like extreme comedy and strong style all put together. Well, at the end, having, Bill, Big Bill. I hope the first thing he does is change Big Bill's name. That name is fucking brutal.
Conan, guess what?
Yo, what up?
We have some great news.
All right.
The Legacy Test Stack and the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack are back in stock for LegacySubs.com. And I'm sure our boy Nick Aldis, who ruptured a biceps tendon, is going to be stacking up on the legacy test stack and the ultimate test stack to rehabilitate his injury. Do you think he might be doing that?
For sure.
Well, this product has been proven to be so popular, the legacy has been out of stock for almost a month. So if you've been on the fence about trying their best-selling stack for safety and naturally optimizing your testosterone levels, don't hesitate. The modern world is full of harmful chemicals that lower your testosterone. The best way to fight back is to make sure you're naturally stimulating your body's own natural testosterone production at all times. Healthy testosterone levels account for more strength and more energy. That's obvious. Also, a healthier sex drive and better sleep. A lot of people probably didn't know that. So invest in your health and performance now and order the Legacy Ultimate Test Stack at LegacySubs.com. And remember to use the code K100. It's the number one discount code used for LegacySubs.com to get a 10% discount and support the show. That's LegacySubs.com. Level up with Legacy. All of our friends, if they get it, don't forget, reorder if you're running out. And for all our newbies that are listening to this, we've got great testimonials from our followers that have been using this. They've been losing weight, feeling better, getting more muscular. It's great products there by our boy Nick Aldis and LegacySubs.com.
Right. And there's a reason why this is their best-selling thing. We've been doing business with them for 3 years. You know, the Test X9 is like an optimizer. So like he said, it helps with libido. It helps with your energy levels. It helps with your workouts. I mean, you know, testosterone. That's why guys over 40 years old are just running to get the TRT therapy. You know what I'm saying? Because right. It works. So we use these products ourselves. You can't go wrong with them. So get healthy, stay healthy with Legacy Subs. Boom. His promo is basically, even though you're watching Dynamite, you can watch me against Kyle Fletcher, who I don't even know, or Kyle O'Reilly. I don't even know if they have some sort of history. It seems like they do. Do they have Harry?
A history that I don't know.
I mean, not to,
I don't watch.
Not well, to he made knowledge. It sound like they did, and I'm like,
Kyle, there's somewhere. Kyle and who?
I mean, maybe from Ring of Honor?
Yeah, right. Probably.
Well, he made it sound like they had a history, and I was like, could somebody fill me in on this? And so you've got that match, which Disco, with no real buildup that I know of and no explanation of their history, next on Rampage.
Let me add,
is that something that you were looking forward to? Did you say, yeah, after this show, I'm going to watch Rampage?
No, but
so I will watch Rocky. First, well, right.
I just thought of something. So Rocky Romero's gimmick in here was like, I've associated myself with these two guys. I've won titles in New Japan, Ring of Honor, CMLL. I've been a champion. I want to win a championship right here. Right, and so he calls out Kyle O'Reilly. Right. Okay, like I want to, who doesn't like that, bro? You know what Renee Paquette should say?
He doesn't have a title.
She should, like, if she say, I want to win titles here. Renee Paquette should throw this out there. One of the things, just like, well, why don't you accept one of the open challenges?
Right.
I'd like his announcer, right. You know, and like Rocky Brown.
Why are you facing Kyle O'Reilly if he doesn't have a right title?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Why don't you accept one of the open challenges? You know, like, what?
That is a
good. Just give him something more to talk about, right?
Well, just so you know, D.I., so now you're going to know, they had a few matches in Ring of Honor, but they did feud in New Japan, Beretta and Rocky versus Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. Big tag feud over there.
Wait, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly is who?
Beretta and Rocky Romero, and also Kozlov and Rocky Romero.
Oh, God. I can see Trent Beretta coming.
So that I do know, that Trent and Rocky were attacking.
The 2019.
Yeah, but how many people don't know that? And when he said the name Kozlov, this had to be over 10 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm about letting motherfuckers know.
Sure.
What happened to that guy?
So they actually did some
quit decent, or something?
They actually did.
He listened to your Get My Goat podcast, said fuck the whole thing.
Well, you know.
So
it happened.
They actually did some decent storytelling booking to the next match. Serena Deeb against Mariah May with Toni Storm and Lucer. Okay. And the gimmick here is like, you can't beat Deeb because she's just coming back. And Mariah May is getting over pretty good. You don't want to beat her because she's an over character that's taken a couple losses lately on TV that she didn't need to lose again. So they did the gimmick where she's getting the May's knee kept getting beat on the mat. So Toni Storm threw the towel in. And the thing is here, like, right, maybe she threw the towel because she doesn't want to have to face Mariah May because she's scared, like, you know. So this was actually a good way to get out of this when Deeb gets the win and you protect him and Mariah May lost, and they continue the story there. So Toni Storm has actually got the storyline she's in are actually pretty decent. But sometimes the match, like she had the match against Deonna Purrazzo, the buildup was fine. It's like 4 or 5 weeks of TV, and they were, you know, and then they had the match and wasn't that good. But Storm actually builds up, you know, whatever the good storytelling for her at least. So I thought this was pretty good, to be honest with you.
Can I ask you guys about the finishes, because it seems like AEW, in my opinion as a fan, overuses like the roll up, the choking out, and
bro, it's fascinating.
Instead of tapping out, they stop the match.
Dude, they do that, and look at the stuff they kick out of during all this. It's just like you're kicking out of things that like you're devastated. Then the finish is a roll up, or something. Yeah, I'm like, you know.
I know that they want to defend the wrestler and not bury him, but it's like, come on. It does. If you take a pin or two, look at Swerve. When he came into AEW, he was taking pins left and right. He was tapping out. He was losing, but he just took it upon himself to get to the next level, and he's the world champion right now for them. So I just think, like, as a fan, I get more satisfaction out of seeing a guy tap out or taking a pin than just choking out and the referee being like, okay, match over. Or at least here, it makes sense with the storytelling of Toni Storm looking after her pupil in Mariah May.
Okay.
It's going to be interesting what they do on Double or Nothing, because I got no clue where they're heading with the tag team titles. I have no clue. They already announced the men's and women's world championships, who it's going to be, and unfortunately it's just going to be a bridge pay-per-view with those two belts, because you know that Swerve and Toni Storm aren't going to lose those belts, but hopefully the tag team one, that's going to be an interesting one in the pay-per-view. But so far, I'm like, okay, what are they going to do? I got no clue.
Yeah, because I think, you know, from what I've read, the buy rates have stayed pretty consistent in the same range, but I don't think this show is going to see a lot of buys. I think it's going to start reflecting the TV ratings a little bit. And by the way, the ratings just came out.
Please be over 700.
703.
Just barely. Damn.
Yeah, but they're not going to get 800 for another month and a half because of basketball. I mean, just every show is, it just happens every year.
And Disco, last year they were at the same venue, 7,361. Russell Tinks had them yesterday around noon at 4,225. So 3,000 tickets sold compared to last year, pretty much at the same time.
Well, let me give you the thing here, and this is
burned on cable behind the NBA playoffs and the Maple Leafs versus the Bruins.
I keep saying this, okay? This is one thing that AEW had that could compete with the programming that WWE was putting on, because WWE's production is so much better, just, you know, more polished, right? Is that when they were having these long form talking segments with Punk, you know, MJF, Ricky Starks was emerging on the mic, and they, bro, you've lost like. Like, those are three good, strong time fillers on their show that were putting good content on the show. That, bro, I think people just miss them.
And you know it's what?
Like they're missing MJF huge. There's nobody on that show that's out there cutting a promo like he does, that you're not changing the channel. Listen, every word he says is like,
I remember everybody would send letters saying he was overexposed and this and that. And I was like, well, you're going to miss him when he ain't there.
100%. It's been 4 months. And I was listening to the review of last week's show on Patreon the other day, and I was like, hey, maybe you guys don't remember, but there was a segment right before MJF left where it was swerving him. It was
in the back.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And they had like two segments.
Yeah, I'm like, damn, I can't wait for that one. That one's going to be good, and hopefully he comes back at Double or Nothing and they start setting it up for the future, because they need a segment of something to get hot, because Christian is great.
No, they have it. No. Him, like we said, him and Christian, Swerve got over because he went out there and like torched guys on the mic. Like he just crucified Adam Page, and people go like, wow, this guy's really good on the mic, you know, but now he has, you know, he hasn't really had that chance to have that other heel, that other guy to like go back and forth with like he does now with Cage, you know, so. But that'll be
for me is the last time we haven't seen Cage on TV for a month and a half. And the last time we saw him was that match against Adam Copeland, the street fight where Copeland won the title. So I'm like, what did Cage do, Christian Cage do to deserve the title shot? They're trying to get the rankings out.
He's made it. They said, I got a person for you. So we can, you know,
sure.
that thing. But like I said, we need, you know, I don't know. You just, there's still too much. And the reason, you know, the like I said, the reason they don't do numbers like they have is, bro, there's not a lot of entertaining talking segments on their show like there used to be. And you're filling in where a spot where you could have a Ricky Starks out there cut a promo with some, maybe if Ricky Starks challenged Swerve, they would actually have a good promo battle. Bro, that would be better than just, it'd be even more compelling television than Claudio Castagnoli versus Brian Cage. You know, I'd rather, what would you rather watch? A cold match or a good promo?
Or even, you know, you guys might not watch Collision, but last week they had.
Yes, I watched Collision.
There you go. So the beginning of the show, Swerve came out. He was like, yeah, he did his promo, and then he did an open challenge. Claudio came out. They had a decent exchange, and then they had the match later in the night.
No, it they was, didn't. No, they did not have a decent exchange.
Right. So what,
Swerve had a good exchange. Claudio said absolutely nothing. Poor guy.
And the match was good. I was like,
You knew the match was going to be good.
Yeah, a Saturday show that I watch sometimes and sometimes I don't, I was like, hey, I was glad I was able to catch that one. Because he didn't speak last week after his championship, but he's going to, or last Wednesday, but he's going to speak on Saturday.
Right. It seems like a lot of things happen, whether it's just cold matches or whatever. There's no consequences. It's just, all right, this could be good. And there's not a lot of storylines to be resolved. Like, it's hard to put the show on and just watch it in a vacuum and be like, all right, what am I waiting for to happen? Well, really nothing, because there's nothing to me that needs to be resolved that's drawing my interest.
Yeah, right now it's going to be the Elite with Jack Perry. It's going to be Swerve and Cage, Christian Cage. And I'm really not very interested on Toni Storm versus Serena Deeb. Serena's great, but I mean, she's going to have a good match. But besides that, I'm not very into her character. So,
yo, support K100 and check Bet Online. Boom.